Our second reading comes to us from Genesis chapter 32, beginning in the 22nd verse. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, in this moment, may you hear the words that are proclaimed and find them free of deceit. May you find no wickedness in them, no violence, only love. Love for you, love for neighbor. Oh God, in this moment we come to you seeking refuge in you, because we know that we cannot do this life alone. And so, oh Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob has two wives, Leah and Rachel. This was not the plan. Jacob served Laban for 7 years in order to marry his beautiful younger daughter, Rachel. But when the 7 years are up, Laban deceives Jacob. He marries who he thinks to be Rachel, and in the morning he awakens to find Leah instead. The passage doesn't say this, but I can only imagine how that moment must have felt for Leah. Leah's introduction speaks only of her eyes, but Rachel is described as pleasing to the eye. All their lives, there must have been this disparity between the two sisters, culminating in the moment when Leah awakens to her new husband, seeing nothing but disappointment and outrage written across his face. "I don't want you. I want Rachel," he might as well have said. This sets up further tensions, further dissonance between the sisters as Jacob goes on to serve Laban once more for Rachel's hand in marriage. By the time we reach Genesis 32, Jacob has married Rachel as well. He has two maids and 11 children to go along with those two wives. He sends them on ahead of him with all of his possessions. Jacob stays behind and wrestles an unnamed man all night long. They wrestle and wrestle and wrestle all the way to the break of day. Sounds pretty exhausting, doesn't it? The man does not overtake Jacob. When he realizes this, he strikes Jacob on the hip socket, causing Jacob's hip to be put out of joint. The man says, "Let me go," but Jacob will not until the man blesses him. The man asks, "What is your name?" Jacob replies, "Well, Jacob, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And this seems to me to be a very strange interaction. I mean, have you ever had someone come up to you and ask your name, you tell them, and they say, "No, it's not, your name is..." I mean, maybe you've had that happen when it's someone calling you a bad name, but not just changing your name, telling you, oh no, your name's not that anymore. This is your name now. Maybe when someone was trying to be mean to you, but not necessarily in a situation where someone's just changing your name from one thing to another. Anyway, Jacob becomes Israel. Israel names the wrestling place Peniel because he has seen God face to face and his life has been preserved. From that time onward, Jacob walks with a limp on account of his hip. I can't count the number of times someone has asked me, do you ever get mad at God? Is it okay to get mad with God? In other words, is it okay to wrestle with God? I mean, in this passage, Jacob, who becomes Israel, is not mad at God, but he is wrestling with God. And the answer to those questions, is it okay to wrestle with God? Is it okay to be mad with God? Is yes. If we aren't wrestling with God, if we're not being very honest with ourselves or others. I'd say we aren't being honest with God, but God already knows everything, and so there's no deceiving God. If we're not supposed to wrestle with God, well, then I'm in big trouble because I wrestle with God all the time. The other night, my daughter was asking me questions about how Jesus could be both God and man at the same time. And as I lay awake in bed that night, I fussed at God. You know, God, I have all of these degrees. I'm a really good teacher of theology. Everybody says so. But could you not have made this just a little bit easier? I mean, Trinity, three in one and one in three. Three persons of the same essence. How am I supposed to explain this to a 60-year-old, let alone a 6-year-old, in a way that people can understand? And the resurrection? Jesus, you couldn't have stuck around or revealed yourself to Caesar or something? It sure would be a lot easier to grow your church if I could point to that one time in Rome when Caesar is like, yes, squash that unrest in Jerusalem. Jesus is dead. And then you were like, poof, ha 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 ha. No, you didn't. Here I am. Now, scribes, write this down and take a picture of me while you're at it so you can prove that I'm real and everyone will believe in me. And then, you know, world peace. And then this is when I imagine God shaking his head and rolling his eyes at me because of the rabbit trail my mind has gone down at night when I'm drifting off to sleep. Yeah, I wrestle with God in perhaps some silly ways sometimes. And at no time do I wrestle with God more, though, than when I or people I care about are in pain. God, please, just make it stop. Why won't you make it stop? I don't understand. I am of the opinion that we should all be wrestling with God to one degree or another. If we just blindly follow God, we don't really grow in our faith. But if we wrestle with God, trying to figure God out as if God can be figured out, realizing that we can't, and while God is so big and powerful and loving on a level we will never be able to fully comprehend, the simple act of wrestling with God in and of itself makes our belief grow because we become more attuned to the character of God. And so this week, friends, I want to encourage you to wrestle. It really is okay to wrestle with God, to ask questions, to maybe even get a little mad sometimes. Because when we wrestle with God, we do not leave that fight the same way we came into it. I want to encourage you to wrestle with God, but I also want to encourage you to look for the scars on the hearts, minds, bodies, and souls of the people you encounter. Look below the surface, below the words that they're saying, to the why. Look for the scars. Look for the ways in which the other has been wrestling and how it has changed them over time. Don't be afraid to have those deep conversations with people about scars. Your scars. Their scars. But also Jesus' scars. And how the scars on his hands, his feet, and side have changed you and you will never be the same. Jacob, he wrestled with God all night long. I imagine him emerging in the morning in the sunlight, all sweaty and muscles tired, just exhausted. And then there's that hip that's out of joint that causes him to limp for the rest of his life. Jacob wrestles with God, and he does not leave that wrestling, that night, the same way that he went into it. Friends, we all wrestle, but in the midst of the wrestling, we may find God and never be the same. Amen.